Yeah.
Just want to make sure. Okay. All right. Well, it's interesting you mentioned that the Canadian investors, because in speaking with the people that are fronting Greenlight, they're talking about how local they are. They're all from Wisconsin. They have Wisconsin connections. I mean, is that just happy speak again, or trying to make it look like, hey, we're local here?
Yeah, well, certainly it's a way, putting Wisconsin mining experts on your board of directors is a way to try to sort of generate AstroTurf in a way that makes you look like you're a Wisconsin company. So, you know, Greenlight Metals has a Wisconsin corporate office. It's a pole barn in rural Medford, in rural Taylor County. None of their limited staff, which is basically their CEO and I think their CFO, are paid. You know, everybody else is taking stock options in the company. And sitting on the board of directors, so it's, you know, it's artificial. They're not a Wisconsin company. This is a Canadian company. They're organized and headquartered in Toronto. They are listed on the Toronto Stock Venture Exchange, which is where all the junior mining companies, the hundreds of junior mining companies, go to try to attract outside investment. In their schemes to try to develop mines someplace, or to buy up property with hopes of being bought up themselves or merged with an actual mining company. Greenlight Metals isn't a mining company. It's never mined anything. You know, they exist to attract money to speculate on potential mine developments. So is it just happy talk? No, there's a method behind the madness, which is to make it look more like you're a Wisconsin company when in fact you're not. Not really fooling anybody who's paying attention. But for the public who's unaware, it may make a difference if it looks like, you know, if it looks like these guys are more from Wisconsin than they are from Canada.
Good. So looking ahead towards the gubernatorial election, it's interesting. Tom Tiffany was one of the lead sponsors of the mining bill. He's a front runner for the Republican nominee. There's also this potential that Democrats could flip the control of the legislature.
Right.
They could actually regain control. So would you say that mining could or should be an issue this fall in the election? Is this something that warrants more attention simply because the lead nominee obviously is very much in proposal of not drill baby drill but dig mine baby mine versus, you know, the potential for Democrats to actually come back in? And would you want a Democratic legislature and governor to change the mining law that exists currently?
Well, that's a big if, you know, whether Democrats could flip both houses and retain the governor's seat. And to be clear, the Sierra Club is nonpartisan. What we would like to see is some of the reversals in, you know, protections from mining in state law reversed. We had a relatively solid, comprehensive mining law in years past that's just been eroded repeatedly over time. And so reenacting some of those protections, I think, would be a priority for us. Should mining become an issue for the gubernatorial election and or the legislature? I think so. I think the public is wary of mining developments in the first place. I think if they understand more that, you know, Tom Tiffany was, a strong sponsor and supporter of the legislation in 2017 that repealed the Prove It First law. If they understand that and what it did to support potential destructive mining, I think that it's important for the public to know and understand that. It won't be the big driving issue by any, stretch of the imagination. But folks should know that, you know, that somebody like a Tom Tiffany is more supportive of an industry that is potentially quite damaging to Wisconsin's environment with very limited payoff for taxpayers and even for local units of government. For an industry that's inherently unsustainable and is boom and bust in nature. So these, you know, it wouldn't generate long-term jobs or long-term income or long-term quality of life in northern Wisconsin.
You talked about the it won't be the driving issue. Is this something that you'll promote to members, or is this something that, I mean, because there's a lot of people that don't even know this exists. I mean, some of the gubernatorial candidates I've talked to, like, you can see it kind of went right by them in terms of mining. Well, what are we talking about mining for?
Yeah, well, arguably, you know, issues like climate change and support for, you know, renewable energy, you know, things that maybe have a little bit more direct impact for voters, you know, I think are going to be issues that stand out. You know, mining developments have, you know, a limited impact on, you know, generally smaller groups, you know, population groups in the state. So we'll certainly ask candidates, potential candidates about it. We do endorse candidates for races, and we will for governor, we will for the legislature. We try to work in every legislative district, both in the Senate and the Assembly, looking forward. So, you know, we'll ask those questions of the candidates. Because, you know, it's a priority for us. It's a goal to try to, you know, roll back some of the loss of protections that we've seen over the last 20 years.
Ultimately, would you want to see Prove It First put back in place?
I think so. I think a strengthened Prove It First is still a useful tool. And I think the 2023 study that was commissioned in Minnesota by supporters of their version of Prove It First that found that current mines, even proposed by the mining industry itself to meet their version of the law, are having problems. I think that's really an important, valid point to bring up with the public, is to show that this industry really has a horrific track record, and it has a failed track record. A track record of extensive environmental damage. Even so-called example mines have issues. So what I would love to see here, and, you know, what I think is important, is to strengthen a Prove It First law and make it require a single mine, for example, that has both operated and closed safely. You know, over an extended period of time, not some little small mine like a Flambeau mine that only operated for 3 years. You know, something that is relatively significant in scope to give us a good sense of whether or not this industry actually has a good handle on protecting the environment.
And to be clear, the Flambeau mine, did, if that had run the full 10 and closed, would that meet the examples? Did they have issues as well?
So they never operated for 10 years, so they couldn't have met that tenet of the law. It's been more than 10 years since they closed, but the company has an ongoing surface water contamination issue at the site, where a stream flowing from the site is listed on EPA's, what's the list called? So at the Flambeau site, there is a stream that that flows through the mine site and then down into the Flambeau River that has been listed by both our DNR and US EPA for impairment due to zinc and copper contamination. So waters running from the mine site have impaired and damaged a stream that flows into the Flambeau River. So despite being closed for more than 10 years, the Flambeau mine would not satisfy the requirement of a mine that had been closed and reclaimed safely for 10 years.
Okay. Anything else that you want to add that we might have missed in this conversation?
No, you let me squeeze just about everything in.
Then before we turn off, can I get you to say and spell your name and give your title, just so I have it all correct?
Sure. I'm Dave Bluin. My last name is spelled Bluin, B-L-O-U-I-N. I am the State Mining Committee Chair for the Sierra Club.
And what's the worst mispronunciation of your last name you've heard?
Oh, Blown.
Blown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.